And we're also speaking with Diana McPherson, the current PTO president for Chemise Elementary, a thankless job. But they've got a great fundraiser coming up this weekend, and we're going to cover all areas of it. Diana, I know that the school has decided this year not to do the catalog fundraiser. You know, 'tis the season for every poor little kid in the community to be knocking on a door selling everything for school and wrapping paper to Boy Scout popcorn and Girl Scout nuts. And it just seems like everybody is selling everything. And you guys decided not to do that this year. Try to find some different types of opportunities for the school to make money since they're in such a hard time. But
right.
Is that the gist of the fact that you didn't?
Right.
We need kids knocking on doors.
Yeah, our idea was to avoid that. We didn't want to send the kids out selling door to door and just bombarding people with, you know, buy this, buy that. So yeah, we decided to skip that and try something different.
And the PTO at Chemise Elementary, they give a portion of monies from the fundraising that they do to teachers for different types of teacher classroom projects or rewards that they give the kids. And it's a substantial amount of money every year.
It is.
And,
it is, yeah.
And so the Chemise PTO has looked at a variety of different types of fundraisers and hopes to make the same amount of money so that, you know, hopefully people realize that if teachers need something for their classrooms, there's no magical place that this money comes from. A lot of times it comes out of their own pockets. And we do have teachers that are teaching at multiple schools, and so they're sometimes footing the bill for more than one school, and the PTOs hope to alleviate that with, you know, we're not all just fundraising because we enjoy it so much.
Right.
It's the helping
we do
the school
have
and the kids and
it.
The teachers, yeah. And so let's talk about some of the other fundraisers that the school's looking at and other ways that people can help.
We are doing a fundraiser with Current, although it's not clearly not sending the kids out to sell things. We're doing it online this year, and so you can do it at any time.
And Current is the gift card. It's still the same
gift
type
card,
of items.
Yeah, gift
wrapping
cards,
paper.
Wrapping paper, things for your kitchen, house, little knick-knack
gift,
kind of
right.
things, gifty things.
And the benefit of this is if your grandparents live in Washington.
That's right. Anybody can participate.
And they ship it right to them.
Right. Ship directly to them, and Current gives us 50% of the purchase.
And is that, off the top of my head, current.com?
It is currentfund.com.
And you can contact us here at KRSN to find out all that information on how to access that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know you're also collecting ink cartridges.
That's right. Ink cartridges, laser cartridges, and used cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all the box top labels, labels for education, and the Tyson Project A+ on the chicken packages. They have
right.
the Tyson labels, so we can collect those as well.
And a lot of times there are many opportunities for schools to raise funds, but if there are people in the community looking for volunteer opportunities or especially senior citizens, perhaps this is a way that they can volunteer that's very helpful to the schools, but a lot of times something people can do in their own home too.
That's right.
And there's one other fundraiser. Oh, they're also collecting the juice bags. Can you tell
yes,
us about
that?
Yes, the
Capri packages, the Capri Sun juice packages.
And so there are just all sorts of things that we can do throughout the course of our regular day. I know that
mm-hmm.
A couple of different organizations around town can purchase Smith's gift cards from the schools, and the school automatically gets 5% of every order.
Right.
Just essentially for doing the legwork. So there are many opportunities like that where we could make a lot of money. You know, it's just some volunteer time on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, especially with the holidays coming up, if you're thinking of buying a multitude of gift cards to give to people, you could benefit your school at the same time.
That's right.
And so tell us about this. Tell us, aside from the musical part, which we'll talk to Peter Appel in just a minute, tell us about the event that's happening this Friday night. Oh, and we wanted to correct the fact that Mountain Elementary's carnival is Saturday and not Friday. So if you were hearing us chit-chat a little while ago, we're very happy now that we're not competing against each other. So
no time conflict there.
Our event is on Friday evening. And tell us what all is involved.
We are offering a dinner before the concert, and that starts at 5 o'clock. And we are offering Frito pies and a drink for $4.50, and hot dogs and a drink for $2.50. And we also have a silent auction, and the doors will open at 4:30 for that, for viewing and to start bidding. And we won't close the silent auction until 7:30. So the parents can get up during the concert to go check on their items that they want. And we have a whole list of things.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute, but I think David has Peter on the phone. And David, did I hear you right? Did I hear you right in saying that you went to school with Peter? Good morning, Peter. Are you there? Dun, dun, dun.
All right, Bernadette, you're pushing my buttons. Okay. Peter is online, too, with us this morning. And if I throw all the right switches here, he can hear us and talk to us at the same time. So, Peter, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're live on the air, so be good.
And so first, we want to hear some kind of stories. If you guys went to school together, were you in the same class?
Yeah, we graduated together.
And how did your paths cross back then? Or it's kind of ironic that he's now on music and you're now on radio.
I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah.
Come on, Peter. We're wanting a story. You have any kind of story?
I don't think so.
I don't have deep, dark stories, but the first thing I told David, I said, wait a minute, you're David that I went to school. Same graduating class, right?
Yeah,
so it is.
You know,
connected real quick
we knew each other in high school, but I don't think we hung out together. Didn't you go to Canyon Elementary School, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where we initially met in second grade.
Wow.
Okay.
It's funny. A friend of mine just sent an email out about small towns and the funny things that are different from small towns and cities. So, so it is funny to get these connections here.
And so there you go, Peter. Now you've got an in on somebody to play your music locally, see?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm trying to find it so I can.
12 years through school there to say hi, David, and say hi, Peter, you know. But
yeah, that was about the extent of it. You know, and we might have been in music class together. I was in choir a lot, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm sure we crossed paths every, you know, several times a year like that, too.
Right.
I was in just about every music organization over there. Not directly choir, but I was in the supporting.
Do you know what, Peter?
Orchestra or band and that kind of thing.
All right, Peter. You know, we were discussing that you weren't on YouTube, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
I put, because I get a lot of stuff off of YouTube, and I just put it's Perter. No, I have Peter. Did you mean Peter Apel performing Sometimes I Have Oatmeal for Breakfast?
That would be him.
And you are on YouTube, buddy. Did you even know that?
Actually, now that you said that, we did get one clip up that was in preparation for another show. That's not my best clip in the world, but yeah, there is one clip out there on YouTube. You're right. I think that clip came from actually doing a little routine to the oatmeal. So I guess we should back up for just a minute. There's a song on my CD called Sometimes I Have Oatmeal for Breakfast.
Okay.
And for a friend of mine, he's a magician, and for his 50th birthday party, I thought, you know, we'll try to, he's a big advocate of having music and magic together. And so I said, well, let me see if I can turn one of my songs into a magic routine in time for his birthday. So I did that for one of his magic shows that he has, and
So he put it on YouTube.
I think
you
got some version of that one. That will actually be in my show, a kind of later version of that same thing.
So we're going to let David beg off for just a minute because what he's, excuse me, Peter, what he's trying to do is to download a song so we could play a song here this morning. Can we back even further up and you tell us about your relationship to Los Alamos?
Sure. Yeah, so I was, as you probably heard, I went to elementary school with David over there at Canyon Elementary School. I'm not sure what's there right now. Are there classes over there or maybe
is Canyon Elementary the old Pueblo complex?
Yeah, it's just as you come into town over there in eastern area. There's a grass field there, so I'm not sure what's there now. It might be part of the lab or
you're getting some head confirmation.
I'm going to show my age if I start naming companies and things. But anyway, it's an elementary school that was for eastern area up there.
So you weren't born here?
And I was born and raised in Los Alamos.
Oh,
so my whole family's from there. I was in Los Alamos all through high school and college until I was finally recruited out of college.
And I understand you still have family in town.
Yes, I do. My parents are still in town, and I have two brothers in the area with their families. One actually lives on the hill in Los Alamos, and the other one's down in Nambe.
And how often do you get home?
We try to get there a couple times a year if we can. I've got my own kids. I have Christopher and Alina. Christopher's 5 and Alina's 3. And and my wife Angie, and I try to get those guys over there so we can, you know, they can experience New Mexico, and the kids can see their grandparents and things like that.
And when were you here last?
Actually, we came for my mom's 80th birthday celebration.
Ooh, you might be in trouble for saying that.
I know. I was wondering if I could say that or not.
If she's listening, you're in trouble.
It was really nice. We celebrated it with two families, it was a very nice event. So anyway, we couldn't miss that one. You know, you get the ultimate family reunion on those kinds of things, so the kids get to see all their extended relatives as well.
And other than
I think that was in July.
And other than seeing your family, is there something you look forward to when you come back?
Yes, I always enjoy the skies there. I'm completely captivated every time I'm there. I take the camera, and you know, you're supposed to take pictures of people and things, but I'm always taking pictures of the New Mexico skies and the landscapes and things like that. So I always appreciate the clean air and all that. And of course the food.
Yeah.
It's hard to get sopapillas around here.
And you're in California now, is that right?
Yes, I'm in Northern California. We live in San Jose in the Silicon Valley.
So you might be able to find a decent restaurant, but probably not good chili, right?
They're famous over here for all the cuisine, all the different kinds of restaurants, but there's a big hole in the trying to find New Mexico food out here.
You could do that part-time musician, part-time.
Yeah, it's actually crossed my mind. There's got to be an opportunity there.
Maybe you could just wholesale chili to everybody that's moved out there.
Yeah, it actually has crossed my mind, yes, sir. But we did find some in the grocery store just in the last couple years.
Wow.
Like small batches that came into a couple of the grocery stores. And so we bought and roasted some of our own.
And David's got something for us.
Peter, just as a hint, when I was living in San Diego for 10, 12 years, I had the same problem. But I noticed that sopapillas, you could find them on the dessert menu.
Right. They put the cinnamon and powdered, what is it, cinnamon and sugar on them,
right,
or something like that.
Exactly. But you could find them on the dessert menu, which is interesting. Anyways, just thought I'd throw that in.
And Peter, so we know you spoke about being involved in music when you were in school. Tell us about how you got started and at what age.
Okay, well, the story in our house is that I started as a toddler because I used to put my my foot fit just right in a little like camping pot, little aluminum pot, and so I used to put that on my foot and listen to the noise as I walked around the house.
So you never know what starts it.
Exactly. So I started, for those that don't know, I'm primarily a drummer by training, so drummer and percussionist. And so I've always, I think, enjoyed sound quality and, just the tonal quality of various sounds in the world. And so I pretty much started, oatmeal containers and wooden spoons and pots and pans and things like that.
You were the tradition, you followed the traditional boy path.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And hitting things, yeah. And I enjoyed hitting things, so I received a toy drum set. I think it was in kindergarten, and just went to town on that. And I was, in love with drums from the start. So I took drums through all of school. But in our house, my mom always kept a guitar in the house, and my parents were always singing. My dad played a little bit of accordion and harmonica. And he would sing some favorite tunes of his that he would sing some stories to us as we were growing up. And so we always had, music in the house. My mom would always sing harmony anytime somebody sang a classic tune or, a song where she knew the words, she'd jump right in with harmony. So we always heard the vocals in our house as well. And then they ran us all through at least starter lessons on different instruments. So we had some guitar lessons, and probably thinking maybe second or third grade, probably.
And
we had guitar lessons.
And did you play the guitar because your dad played the guitar?
Not my dad. It was mainly, I think they picked up a guitar, and one of our neighbors played the guitar. And for the parents that get a little frustrated with the, are the kids interested or not, the interest can grow over time. We actually went to our neighbor's house. My sister and my brother and I would go over there for guitar lessons. And my sister was going for the guitar lessons, but my brother and I were really going to play their little ice hockey game, the ones with the handles on them and you
right.
pull the players back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So my brother and I were going over for that while we waited for our guitar lessons.
And
but eventually, of course, you gain interest in the instruments, and I've pretty much carried a guitar with me, you know, through life. And my mom always helped a lot with that by, if someone would leave with a guitar, like take a guitar to college, she would always make sure there was a guitar in the house.
And was there at some point that you knew that it changed for you, that you knew it was more than just playing in school, you know, kind of playing for fun?
I think I always had a huge love for music, and anyone that that knows me probably sensed that. Leaving high school, I was really torn between going the music route or the engineering route. And it's especially tough, actually, from Los Alamos.
And, and because your parents were musical, do you think that's what led you down that path? Because it does seem
I think the two things that parents should know is are probably exposure to music. So make sure the kids are hearing music out there. So they hear it on the radio. They hear the music in the house. It could be singing. It could be CDs, things like that, live performances. And that way the kids aren't foreign to music. And then going from there, it's having the kids have an available path for music. So in our house, the rule was basically, if you want to make music, you're not going to find an excuse not to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel like you want to try a guitar, there's a guitar. If you feel you want to try the piano, there's a piano. If you want lessons, we'll try to get you lessons. And then just encouragement. And I think it just kind of plants the seeds there, and the kids will kind of blossom into enjoying music.
I agree, because it seems like the kids that come from families where they're, you know, in my house there is not, and when I was growing up there is not, we didn't sing around the piano. But it seems like families that do that kind of thing where they sing together or they're not afraid to sing, that really develops a budding artist, and so, or at least a lifelong appreciation for music.
Right, and everybody doesn't have to make music, but I think the music appreciation is a very strong aid in life. It can, in my case, I'm able to play some music, whether it's guitar, drums, or whatever, and I can get my feelings out and express them and things like that, and that helps me a lot. But for other people, they may hear a very nice piece of classical music, and that might help them to, you know, work through some thoughts or something. And that's at any age, actually, right?
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I would agree with you on the young part. We've got a great guy here named Dr. Greg Schneider who does the Music Together program, and he teaches families about starting really young, because I think oftentimes, unless you come from a musical family, kids don't have that opportunity to really delve into music until you get to, say, third grade here, when it seems like that's when the kids are allowed to play recorders, third and fourth grade. And his education piece on that for parents is about not being afraid to sing in front of your kids and not worrying about how your voice is and, you know, sing in the car. And when they say, oh, mom, don't sing, still, you know, putting that out there to sing, which I think is hard unless you've grown up that way.
Yep. And I'd also encourage parents, don't push the kids too hard, but let them flourish. Give them, like, gentle nudges. I've got two kids, and one will, you know, belt out songs and is kind of a showbiz kind of kid. And the other one will do it while they're doing other things. So, like, maybe they're building something or playing with blocks or something like that, but you hear them humming or singing while they're doing it.
And is that the 5-year-old or the 3-year-old?
Yeah, I wasn't going to embarrass them, but, yeah, my 5-year-old's more on the probably the way I was until about 5 years ago. but being very conservative, very, you know, a little bit introverted, that kind of thing. But what I do is I listen, you know, if I say, hey, sing a song, he'll say no. But if I watch him playing in the background or with his friends or just building something, he is singing songs. He sings the songs that so the teachers are encouraged. If you have kids like that, he's singing all the songs that he learned in all, you know, in his preschool classes and kindergarten, things like that. So he has picked all that up, and the teachers maybe didn't get immediate feedback in school, but they should know that goes in. So keep up, you know, keep what you're doing on those music programs in school.
And do you think he might be that way because he's a boy? Do you think it's a difference between a boy and a girl?
I don't know. I think it's one of those parent things, and parents look back and they say, how can my kids be completely different?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think
it's the same house, the same parents, that kind of thing. And, you know, and you get two different kids, but they both do their own things. And he builds wonderful creative structures, you know, with Legos and blocks. And I'm just amazed at his combination of colors and the kind of geometric patterns he comes up with when he's, you know, doing that kind of creative activity. So I think it just comes out in different ways.
Yeah, he's got a different artistic bent.
Yep, exactly.
And so you say you were that way until about 5 years ago. Tell us, how did you make that leap? What were you doing before?
Let's see. So through school and all that, I was always comfortable in music. So I was behind the drums, right? So I'd be in a band, and I'm still a little bit reserved in that kind of thing, but once you put me behind the drums, I'd go all out. And my band would always leave the stage in the middle and make me do a drum solo in the middle of each gig. And I'd say, not today, not today. And they go, okay, Peter Apel, ladies and gentlemen, and they leave the stage. And I'd have like 2 or 3 minutes. I had to do something there. So I learned there's kind of a difference between who you are on stage and off stage sometimes.
Well, and it's a big jump from being the drummer to doing vocals.
Oh, that's a huge jump.
So if you were shy before...
Yeah, exactly, because you're the supporting musician, supporting artist, and then you go, you know, and I'm harmonizing. I'm doing the vocal harmonies and things like that. And then now I slowly worked my way up to the front where I'm actually a solo artist up on, you know, stage playing the guitar, which was not my first instrument, and singing in front of people. And that, that's a huge jump, and I'm still actually getting used to parts of that.
And then, so when you were torn between that decision of engineer or artist, did you then follow the engineer path?
Yes, initially the engineer path, but halfway, like a lot of people, I headed to New Mexico State and went into the engineering and computer and business programs down there. But at the same time, I was in marching band, jazz band, something called show jazz, where you're, you know, working with the jazz singers and that kind of thing. So I always kept the music going. And then when I moved away from that, that's when the guitar came back in. So that's where I would encourage all the parents to, you know, kind of leave the tools there for your kids. And I think they'll eventually pick up those tools and they'll be able to use them when the moment comes. So when I wasn't in the formal structured bands, then I was able to play guitar in my dorm room, maybe more quietly, or... a lot of these songs right here came from doing silly songs just when you have aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and kids around. And we would just be talking and playing guitar, and then a silly song would pop out.
Well, and I think in interviewing different folks from the laboratory before, you know, we've got a lot of, there's some definite connection between being an engineer and being a musical artist. There are so many men that are, you know, involved in the Lads of Enchantment and have local either, you know, just pickup bands or the Community Windsor Hill Stompers. They all seem to still carry that artistic gene, even if it's not in the forefront.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some kind of connection there between the math and science and the music. And I see that on the magic side as well, in magic circles. My magician friends, quite a number of them are very high-tech, very philosophical, you know, heavy-duty thinkers and things like that. So I think a lot of that goes together, and some of that's maybe, like I said, you can get some kind of relief. Your imagination can run a little more. Your creativity can run, kind of inspired by the music, whether you're making it or if you're listening to somebody else's music.
And then so did you develop the magic piece after developing the showman piece with the music?
Yeah, my whole life is this combination of different things that have kind of crisscrossed, and then they came together in the end. So the magic started, you know, as a kid, just like a lot of kids, you get your magic set and you're in love with magic, and I would do like little shows in the front yard for the kids in the neighborhood. But little shows, like, you know, four kids watching, and then you try like your two or three tricks there. And that was a lot of fun. So I've always had the love of magic, but then I never pursued it past that. But after being in the Bay Area for several years, I realized there were some magic circles here, and you could network a little bit with other magicians, and then the quality of the magic really goes up. And so that was the big light bulb there, and my love for magic just started all over again. So it kind of lit the fire again.
And the
magic did that, and the music did the same thing. You know, that now I'm playing guitar, of all things.
And so I still go back to the fact that you said you were that way until about 5 years ago. So once you have your own children, did that make things come more together for you?
Yes, I always if it's an area that I'm comfortable with, I would always jump in. You know, I can jump in front of the crowd and present technical papers or things like that if I need to. But to be up there telling stories or jokes or things like that, that's a little tougher. What happened is we'd have people come to our house just for dinner parties or things like that, or maybe just one family would come over, and after dinner I'd get the guitar out and I'd play songs for their kid. And their kid would really enjoy it. They would go home, and then a month later they'd call us and they'd say, "Our kid's still singing that song you were singing." And I'd say, "Oh, that's funny." And then the next time they came over, they'd say, "Can you sing that song again?" And I realized that I wasn't remembering any of my songs because I was making them up on the spot. And so I thought, okay, for sure I've got to start writing these down. And I started writing the words down in music, doing some light recordings, but that scenario kept repeating itself. And more people kept saying, "Would you... you know, can you do that song again? Or our kid's still singing that song, or we can't get that song out of our head." And finally, people started saying, "You know, if you ever did a CD, we'd buy one." And I said, "Well, okay, maybe I do need to do a CD." So, you know, it was kind of like, ding, 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 maybe there's actually some way to do this. So your question is, how did I get, you know, more comfortable in front of the people as a solo artist? I did the CD. I was so proud of myself, once-in-a-lifetime project. And the first thing people say when they buy the CD is, "And where do you perform?"
Neat.
Yeah, and I said, "Well, I don't." And I did this all in the studio and that kind of thing. So then I started putting a little show together. And, of course, I'm a dad and uncle and everything else. So I was able to practice at family events, practice in our magic circle here. I was able to practice at my son's preschool. And so the parent volunteer time you have at preschools.
Right.
So instead of going in and reading, I said, "Can I play some songs?" And they liked the songs, and then they started saying, "Well, can we bring the other classrooms along?" And I'd say, "Sure." And so those slowly started turning into, like, school assemblies and things like that. And then I started doing library programs, and it just, you know, just kind of expanded like that. It's been a very nice kind of... steady growth kind of thing, as opposed to just, you know, boom, being thrown out there.
Well, yeah,
it just kind of unfolds.
Do you remember your first either paying gig or the first gig that wasn't in a venue that included your own kids?
On the magic side, I did a couple magic shows for adults, kind of like birthday parties, and then I did one for a friend's birthday party. And that was... very enjoyable because they don't know what to expect. The unique thing about my show is I combine the music and magic.
Uh-huh.
So they're not sure what to expect yet when I come in. So I came in wearing a dinosaur hat on my head and singing, "I've got a dinosaur on my head." And then I said, "Okay, you came to see a musician, right?" And of course they wanted a magician. And so I'm playing with the kids, you know, saying, "Okay, well, I'm a musician," and they all look very puzzled. And then I said, "Oh, you wanted a magician," and then I would do some tricks for them.
And so you're the only one that knows that you're not, I don't mean it as a slight, but you're not the professional or a professional that it's your first time out of the box. So after it's over, do you think, "Hey, I pulled that off, this might be something"?
Yes, so it's... It's when you finish and people say, make comments like, "My kid was completely enthralled the whole time. I have no idea how you kept his attention the whole time."
Neat.
And those are the ones that make me feel so good. And there's also the little comments you get from kids that nothing feels better than when you get a bunch of kids singing together or laughing together.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you're kind of in front of that, you know, I can see how the big rock stars feel good when the crowds are responding. But when it's kids and you hear them singing, and not only that, they're singing your songs.
Yeah.
That just feels really good.
So we're going to talk about some more testimonials coming up in just a minute, but we've actually got a caller that I think has a question on line one. It's Carol Jean, so let's see if we've not done this
Carol
before.
Jean needs to turn down her radio, please, Carol. Okay. All right, I hope we're ready now, Carol.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now we can hear you fine.
Oh, good. Hi, Pete. It's Carol Jean.
You need to turn down, Carol.
Hold on. Carol, uh-huh. We need you to turn down your radio because we're getting feedback.
Yeah. Okay, let me just shut that off. Hang on one
There you
minute.
Go.
Because I'm listening to you on...
So
we'll, that. Is that
there,
better?
That's
there,
better.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm listening to you online. I love the live streaming. Are you still having feedback?
Yeah.
Yeah, some. Just go ahead. I got it taken care of here in the studio.
Okay. The Apel family is such a talented family, and I met Pete through his brother David, and Pete was right. He'd be in his dorm room playing the guitar and just so talented. And I have purchased probably 5 or 6 of his CDs to give to my sister-in-laws for my nieces and nephews, and also for the preschool class for my little boy. My little boy's 5 today, and they just love it. And he just, it's just so happy, his music, and cheery, and it's very unique. The oatmeal song, which we love, actually got me started eating oatmeal and my children eating oatmeal. So Pete's done something for the oatmeal industry, too, by having that song out.
Yeah, if there's any contacts out there in Quaker Oats, let me know.
You know, Pete, I might have to send them an email, and I am in Kansas City, but he's just phenomenal, and just the nicest person you'll ever meet. So Los Alamos is very
Carol.
Lucky to have had the Apel family there.
Well, Carol, thanks a lot. We appreciate you taking the time to call.
Thank you, and thanks for having Peter on.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So, Pete, I'm seeing a dual educational effort here. You can educate kids about nutrition on the sly and and good music as well.
Yes. So I definitely, my trademarks are kind of silly, off. Maybe the songs aren't exactly what you'd expect. There's usually at least one surprise in each song. And I try to keep them as educational as possible. So there's no talking down to the kids and things like that. So I'm not sure if I'll get it into the show on Friday or not yet, but for example, I'm doing a song about grapefruit, and so I don't hesitate to say it's got, you know, vitamin A and vitamin C and has nutrients and lycopene and things like that. And the kids actually pick that up, and it feels really good. A lot of parents tell me things like, you know, don't use that word. Don't, you know, the kids aren't going to understand that word.
And they understand more than you know.
Yeah, I'm a little sneakier than that. I'm actually thinking, well, no, the kids don't understand the word yet, but now they're going to ask their parents. And then now you're going to have a conversation between the kids and the parents. Encourage, as you know, as the kids hear my music.
And that's that's the best kind of education, that sneaky education that sneaks in there, because that's honestly the kind of thing that you don't realize you know, but it stays in the back of your head. You know, I was watching some kind of game show the other day, and they were talking about what is the song that you used to sing, and for me it's a major East Coast reference, but on Saturday mornings in between cartoons they would have the songs about the Constitution or conjunctions, or and those are the things that just sit in the back of your head and seem to come out when you need them. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, so one thing I'll do on Friday, just on one of the songs, to give a little, it's not like giving away secrets or anything, but so I'll have the kids sing with me on a song called I Love Bananas. And in the middle it says, I love bananas, I love them, yum, yum, yum. I love bananas, they've got fiber and potassium. And when I get the whole audience saying that, it just sounds really funny to hear the whole crowd saying that together.
To hear it echoed back the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
And it, so, before we talked to...
I do sneak in things like that.
But just before we talked to Carol Jean, we were talking about testimonials, and I think you've got a really great website, and one of the neat things you do is you actually have testimonials, not just from adults, but from the kids on the website.
Yes. So I was trying to put adult references there, and then I realized it's a tricky thing right here, because the people that I want to listen to the music are the kids, but the adults are the ones that have to get those to the kids.
Correct.
So I need to try to hit both audiences there. So I put some testimonials from there's a school assembly I did in San Jose here, and they sent a real nice thank you note back where the kids all drew pictures about things that they remembered in the show, and then they wrote little notes.
And that's the best, isn't it?
Oh, and that's, yeah, those are things you keep for your whole life. You know, you keep the pictures, you keep the book and everything. But I got a lot of nice feedbacks from kids. So they say, I love oatmeal, or I love the dinosaur, or you play the guitar really well, or things like that.
And we keep coming up with the reference of the dinosaur. How did you come up with I've Got a Dinosaur in My Head? That's the title of the album, is it not?
That is the title of the album. So the album isn't just dinosaur songs. It's a complete 12 completely different songs. It's a collection of songs with different inspirations. So whatever the inspiration was, that's where the song came from. That one, I actually had a silly dinosaur hat on my head. And some of you may have, you know, no parents or brothers, or maybe you're like that, but I had the silly hat on my head, and I was walking around the house with my guitar, and I kind of snuck up on my wife and my son and started singing the first words that I could think of, and I came out, and I started playing the guitar, and I said, I've got a dinosaur on my head. He's been there since I got out of bed. And then they looked at me with this kind of funny look, like, you know, the look you get where somebody kind of disappointed in you and trying not to laugh at the same time.
You mean
kind of the look?
Kind of the "Oh Lord, help me" look.
Yeah, kind of like oh great, he's doing it again. That look. And so I did that, and whether they laugh or not, I started laughing, and I said, "Oh man, I think I've got a song there." And so for those people that haven't heard the words, the next words are, I don't know how we got there. What am I going to do? I've got a dinosaur on my head. And so then I added a chicken, and I added other animals, and they all make noises, and the song speeds up. And by the end, it's probably a little more challenging than, you know, Old MacDonald Had a Farm there.
And what's your wife think of all this?
She has a lot of fun. She has trouble with, you know, always having to proof my shows and things like that, because I'm always coming up with a new show and things like that. But she's extremely supportive. She's, I'm always doing songs, and I say, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I'm able to do that just, you know, over and over and over. And it's been a big help. And at the shows, she helps with setup and takedown and, you know, deciding what to wear and all that kind of thing. And, it's just been great. When people order CDs, she's been helping with the sales and things like that. I don't know if people know that, but I'm an independent music artist. And so there's more and more music independent artists out there now. And when you do that, it's like being an entrepreneur. So you're doing the whole thing by yourself, from the bookkeeping to everything.
But it's really nice because you get to retain the control as an artist at what you want to name your album and what you want the jacket of the album to look like, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, I can decide exactly what I want on there. Or, yeah, nobody's going to tell me, don't put that big word in there.
Right.
You know, or something like that. So I do it that way. But, no, it's she enjoys it. We go to different towns around the Bay Area here doing library shows. And we wouldn't see those little towns if we weren't invited to go to those libraries.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing some really nice little communities that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And each time we do that, you know, then we'll go to a little lunch or something like that, and the kids see a new place, and we all kind of do a little family thing. So it's worked really nice.
It's a family affair.
Exactly.
And I shouldn't keep saying album, that dates me, but tell us more about the CD, because I know you also do a number of traditional cuts on the CD as well.
So there's 12 songs on the CD. Two are traditional, so there's a version of Incy Wincy Spider, customized a little bit there. It's got my son's name in the middle, and it's more of a kind of a maybe a folk bluegrassy version. And then there's a Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but that also has a little gag in the middle. So those are the two traditional ones. The other ones range from food songs, I have oatmeal for breakfast, to animal songs. I have a song called Peacocks Don't Lay Eggs. And did you know that peacocks don't lay eggs?
I didn't know, but I did see it on your website.
that's because the peahens lay the eggs.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So I teach that in the shows where I sing that song. I teach that to the kids as well. I say, hey, here's something you can go teach your parents. So it's the species is the peafowl, and the peahen lays the eggs, but not the peacock. And so I teach that to the kids, actually, in the show, and the words are in the song. So, again, I'm trying to sneak that education in there.
And see, again, I believe that's the kind of things that kids will remember for the rest, you know, those little nuggets of information that you remember, but you don't quite remember why.
Oh, yeah, I'm amazed at how much the kids remember. There's a song on there called I Love Bananas. It's about a little spaceman that comes down to Earth, and he sings the song I told you about I Love Bananas, and then he flies back up into space, and it just so happens that is Fred Pinsocket, which is the name of my company. So he is a little cartoon character that I've been sort of cartooning since like junior high school.
Neat.
And he's had different forms, but by the time I was coming up with a name of the album, the company, and things like that, I thought, oh, what a great chance to use Fred and kind of have a little flagship guy there.
That's neat.
But the kids all seem to know Fred on a first name basis, which is great. If they see a little logo on my shirt, they say, hey, that's Fred. And that makes me feel really good.
And is there an age that you enjoy playing for the most?
Probably I'd say between, they all have their special traits. But the most feedback from the audience with loud laughter and singing probably starts at about age 5, maybe age 4, 4 and a half, something like that, and then goes up to about age 10. And that's where you get the most kind of interactive response, singing, laughing, that kind of thing. The younger kids, there's still a nice feedback that you get with them. They're still trying to sing, and they come up with funny comments and things like that, and you can see them all listening. But at that age, they're doing more listening. So what I do is I try to tailor the show to all the different age groups, but I have to use every trick in the book because they're all, like on Friday, they'll all be in the same room at the same time.
Right.
So I have to switch from music to magic to big kids to little kids and things like that. And I try to, use good use of colors and songs for the little kids and keep the humor and magic in there for some of the bigger kids. And, of course, everybody loves oatmeal. So not whether you love oatmeal or not, every age group eats oatmeal. So I think I can connect to each age group. But it's really fun to have a, you know, say 200 kids in an audience, like say 5 to 10-year-olds, and they're all singing at the same time. There's just a certain magic with that I love.
Because I've not seen the show, but I've heard that it's good for 2 to 102.
Yes, well, I think what happens is some of the songs cross into novelty territory, right? So like Peacocks Don't Lay Eggs, you don't have to be a young person to enjoy that song. So if you think of, I forgot his name, Al...
Yankovic, Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic, yeah. So his songs are kind of novelty songs, and he can span all kinds of age ranges there. So I think a lot of the songs cross the age barrier with that, as well as some of the magic.
Well, and if you can get enough publicity, even though Weird Al has been out of the scene for, gosh, at least a decade, maybe longer, that you could still recall it like you heard it yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think, so that's why it covers all the age ranges. But I think my real trademark is trying to pull the kid out of the adult as well. So I'm performing for kids, but I'm grabbing, if I can, and if I'm successful, I can grab the part of a kid that's still sitting in that adult that maybe has been a little serious for a little while. Maybe I can still grab a little piece of that kid, you know, at least for the show, have everybody feel kind of like a kid while the show's going on.
Maybe we'll turn the lights out so we can't see them back there.
Yeah. But I think the magic that happens is if the kids are having a good time, then I think everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
And so, when you hear all those kids laughing, it's hard to not start laughing yourself.
So, Peter, we have Diana McPherson here with us, the PTO president. Diana, how did you find Peter, and how did this part come about?
I was shopping the day after Thanksgiving, that Black Friday.
Last year?
Yeah, just up at Ottawa. And they showed me the CD and said, you know, that he would be there later that day. And I wasn't going to be able to stay that late, but it sounded fun. And so I got it for the kids for Christmas, and they loved it. And so, you know, we just always play it. It's in the car or it's in the house. And then when I took on this position with the PTO, when I was talking to the principal, one of the themes was Hard Rock Cafe. So I started thinking, oh, that'd be so fun to do something with music. Hard Rock Cafe, that's what I think of, is music. And so I started thinking, and then we played the CD, and I thought, I wonder. And so, yeah, his website's on there, and so I contacted him, and here we are.
Yeah, that's pretty good publicity there from Ottawa, Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been so supportive. They treat me, even though I've been here, you know, in the Bay Area for a long time, they treat me very much like a local person. So thanks to Peggy and Michelle over there at Ottawa. They carried the CD right away, knowing that I'm, you know, starting to figure out how to run a small business, which is kind of what you're doing in this case. They've given me advice in that area, in packaging, all kinds of things like that. So they've been very supportive over there. That's great.
I think at least if you've been here, you're always considered local. It doesn't matter if you go away.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get, and that's part of what feels so good going back, and that's part of what I want to close with this show is I'm doing all these shows out here, having fun with the kids and all that, and I feel like there's a kind of a piece missing because I'm telling everybody, you know, in New Mexico and Los Alamos what I'm doing here, and I'm saying that I'm having so much fun doing this, and then everybody hasn't seen me out there. So a lot of people there think of me as a drummer or just, you know, I think Carol said Pete, and so a lot of people know me as Pete, you know, and I'm going a little more by Peter now just to not confuse people. And so I wanted to do something for the New Mexico kids, and this is a great opportunity for me.
And is there anything else you'd like to tell us about the event this week?
I think it's really good when the community does something like this. I don't know what you talked about before I got online, but I think it's a combination of a dinner plus the concert. It's a concert slash magic show, so I'll mix it up for everybody. And then the silent auction. What we've tried to arrange is a way that the school can make money from the different aspects of it. So probably just that everybody keeps in mind that it is a fundraiser. So for everyone that attends, that money will help the school the silent auction bids. That'll help the school a little bit. And we also arranged that for every CD that is sold, the school will get a portion of that money as well. So that way I get my music out there more and the school gets money for CDs sold. So, I really encourage everyone to help Chamisa. And from my side, I would just love to see a whole room packed with kids there. And I think we could have a lot of fun.
And that leads me to my next question is, will we be able to buy the CDs there on the spot?
Yes, I'll bring a stack of CDs with me. If for any reason we run out, then...
That would be great.
That would be great if we run out, because the music's going out and Chamisa's making money. Then I would certainly ship them as quickly as possible as soon as I got back over here.
And so for folks that can't come, you also have that availability online to purchase CDs, and you also have T-shirts and coloring books?
Yep. Yes, thank you. So my website is if people would like to hear song samples, they can go to www.peterapel.com. So Peter, APEL.com. And they can hear song samples. And, yeah, the products we have right now is the I've Got a Dinosaur on My Head CD, T-shirts. I don't have pictures of both T-shirts there, but we have two versions. One's kind of a spaceship theme with Fred on it, and the other one is an embroidered T-shirt, kind of like a little logo on over the left pocket. And so I'll try to bring some of that stuff over to the show. And what else? If there's any teachers out there listening, then any feedback is, I really appreciate feedback from teachers, because I would really like to be offering resources to teachers from the website. There's a movement song on my CD called Walking in a Circle, and another one called Big Locomotive. And I work out routines when I do circle times at preschools on how to get the kids up and moving around and things like that. So I can work with teachers on how to use those songs in circle times.
That's great. And I'd like to encourage you, I don't know if you know the artist named Ken Medema, but he does the same thing you mentioned earlier about, you know, kind of making something up on the fly. And I think that's a craft in and of its own self to be able to do that on the spot.
Yep. And yeah, that's where all the songs come from. And then each performance, something funny happens every single performance. And it's just funny, the things the kids say and the things they do. So I think everyone hopefully will get a big kick out of that.
And are you working on anything currently that we can expect next?
You might hear a song or two in the show that'll be on the next CD. I don't have them all recorded yet, but I have an album's worth of songs in process, and I'm kind of testing them out in shows. I'm kind of working out the interactivity part of it.
Great.
So you'll definitely hear a couple new songs there, and it'll be a highlight to the future album coming, and maybe even I'll get some ideas from the crowd there on how they respond on some of them.
Just not enough time in the day, huh?
Not at all.
Well, we look forward to seeing you this Friday night, and Diane and I are going to talk some more details, but before we let you go, if you will give out your website again.
Okay, peterapel.com, just APEL with four letters, APEL.com. And in addition to that, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. Thanks to KRSN and David and Bernadette and Diana. Thank you for inviting me. And I look forward to seeing everybody there on Friday. And hopefully there's a big bunch of kids right there, and we'll have a lot of fun.
And we're going to play some music on and off and on through the week. But before you hang up, I think Diana and I are going to chit-chat, and David's going to talk to you. I'm sure he hopes you swing by the station while you're here. So we'll get you to hang on the line while I still talk to Diana. But thank you, Peter, and we'll see you on Friday.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And so we did want to cover some of those other aspects of the concert with Diana before we let her out of here. Diana, let's talk a little bit more about the silent auction, because this is a big piece of the fundraiser as well, and it's something that the entire community, irrelevant of whether they want to participate in the concert, can come kind of do a little holiday shopping perhaps, or
oh,
if you've
exactly.
got somebody with a birthday coming up. But even if you're not interested in the concert piece, we have a separate fundraiser just for that. And why don't we talk about that?
We do have the silent auction. Oops, sorry. and part of the auction, we had each of the classrooms had their own theme. And so the parents donated an item to make a basket. Mm-hmm. And so we have just over 14 baskets. And some of those themes that we have an arts and craft basket. We have several Baker's Delight baskets, barbecue, car wash, a cozy corner, an evening with the kids, and a pre-ski basket, Mexican fiesta, scholastic books, coffee lovers, tea lovers, chocolate lovers, dog lovers, mm-hmm. camping, spa pampering for the ladies, and an all sports basket. And then we've also got donations from some of the local businesses. And some of those include a gift certificate from Kika Paprika, a basket from Arbonne, Zapata Jewelry, a Juice Plus Vitamin Starter Package, a Terra Key Photography Package, Ruby K Gift Certificate, a Body Shop Basket for the Love of Life Acupuncture Gift Certificate, and a Mary Kay Basket. And we also have a couple of the coaches at the high school who've donated. We have a one-hour private tennis lesson and an hour private cheerleading coaching. And there'll probably be several others that are coming in last minute also. But we will have all of these listed in more detail on our website, which is www.laschools.net/chemisa. And that's the main page. And just click on the left-hand side, click on PTO information, and it should be right on that page, either listed on there or a link from that page.
To go there. And it seems like you've got all the bases covered as far as something that everybody would be interested in, and tell people when they can access the silent auction part.
The silent auction will open at 4:30 on Friday. And just stop by. And any time, even during the concert, you know, if that part's not of interest and just the auction is of interest, then you're welcome just to do that. And we will close up the auction at 7:30. So people who are attending the concert, that will give them time after the show to check out on their bids.
But you don't have to be present if you have the winning bid. We'll make arrangements with you.
That's right. So, yeah, we'll have a spot for their phone number.
And you can also stop by just for dinner. Is that right?
Yeah, you can do dinner.
And let's talk about those food items again.
For dinner, we have Frito pie and drink, water or soda we'll have, and then hot dog and drink
as well. And that's all happening this Friday.
That's right.
And if people are interested, do they pick up their concert tickets at the door, or can they get them in advance?
Please get them in advance. Adults are $10. Children are $5. You can go to the Chemisa office and buy the tickets there. The tickets will be more at the door. They will go up to $12 and $6, respectively.
And anything else you'd like to tell everybody before we go?
Come to the show. It's going to be a great time.
Well, we thank you, and we thank Peter for being with us. And David, I didn't get a chance to ask you before we came back on the air if you were able to lift that song from YouTube.